Morning. How's everybody doing? My name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach, and we are in week three of a series, but kind of a non-series, and let me explain it a little bit. So for the last 2 years, we have encouraged at the beginning of the year by giving out one-year Bibles and talking about it being on a reading plan because our life comes from the Word, and we want to encourage people to be in the Word. And so we did a series like this last year where literally each week all through the rest of May, I will be preaching out of what you read in the one-year Bible that week. So some story last week we talked about Gideon. This week we're going to be back in the New Testament, talk about Nicodemus. And we want to encourage because we believe, and not just because we're the church and the church is supposed to say we believe in the Word, but the Word is where life is. The Word is what changes us. And let me just say, you cannot get what you need out of me one day a week. You cannot. You cannot. And you need to read the Word to make sure that I got it right, because sometimes I get things wrong. Not often, hopefully, but every now and again, you know. You gotta. Sometimes I think, I don't, that's a lie. I was going to say sometimes I think they say things that aren't correct just to see if you're listening, but I don't do that, because then you're like, oh, man, he's been lying to us. What truth have I bitten into? And so one kind of verse that we've been looking at since this is out of James, where it says, don't merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. The Word is meant to be walked out. And so this week, we're going to be in John 3, verses 1 through 15. We're going to get there. But before we get into any of that, let me just pray and ask God to speak. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would just settle me. Lord, there's lots of things that always are running through my head when I get up here to preach that I want to honor your Word. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just settle me. That your Word would speak through me and even at times in spite of me. And so, Lord, we trust, Lord, when you speak, Lord, there's something we need to hear. And so I just pray this morning that we would have ears to hear. That, Lord, if we've been living with blinders, living with a partial truth, Lord, that you would remove those things, that we would see the goodness of your Son and what he did for us on the cross and what it means to be born again. So we pray these things in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So here's the big idea. And if you've lived in the South for long, this is a term that you're so comfortable with that everybody that you run into is born again, other than a few people that have bumper stickers in this town that said their first birth went okay. Literally, it says that. I think it's funny because they don't need a second birth. Anyway. It's funny when I saw it. I guess it wasn't as funny for you guys. But I believe that this term, along with a lot of other Christian ideas, have been kind of misunderstood or kind of, which would be the same thing, assumed that we understand what that big idea is. And I believe that this idea that Jesus had with this Pharisee, who was a religious leader, the cream of the crop, he had a conversation with him that baffled the expert when he said, you must be born again. And so this is where we're going to settle on. Because if you look at our culture right now, I think the Pew Research in 2014 put at 70.6% of the adult population identifies themselves as a Christian. And hopefully that means they identify them as being surrendered to Jesus. The problem with that is that if 70% of the adults in our country were born again believers, our country would be drastically different. 70%. What's crazy, if you look back on this same article, in 1962, it was 93%. And I believe part of that is because people are being forced to show what they believe. I mean, there's so many ideas out there that if you don't understand what it means, when you get challenged by something else that you don't understand, you get confused and you go, well, maybe I don't know what I know. And so we want to deal with this. The tension this morning is, have you been reborn? Really, and I know everybody, as soon as I say that, are you born again? There's a concept that rolls through your head. Well, and you fill in the blank. Well, I've gone to church all my life, or, you know, I'm born into a Christian family, and blah, and you just fill in the blank. And so we want to settle that. See, if Nicodemus missed it, we have to assume that we could miss it. I know that's scary, and I'm a little nervous to some extent. But listen to this. This is John writing again in 1 John 5:13. It says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Like, Jesus didn't go, you should be born again and leave it vague. Jesus showed us what it meant to follow and be reborn. And so that's where we're going to be today. And kind of an idea that I want to separate here that we're going to talk about is that what Jesus was after in this conversation was not a new religion. He was after a new life. And we confuse that all the time. Some of us confuse it so much that we don't even know that we have confused it. And so this is kind of an idea. Just like your first birth, your second birth isn't something that you control. Like that's a hairy topic. Everybody's like, I control my life. I decided to follow Jesus. Okay, like, don't stake me to, we don't have a cross in here, but to the new drapes that they just put up that look just like the old drapes, but they're brand new right there. Didn't know that, but your life is better. Okay, so I have a couple of scriptures that I just want to get this idea out of your head that your second birth, just like your first birth, was more about what Jesus was doing than what you did to get born. Because, you know, so many things that run through my head. Let's just go back to the word. Okay. Because I'm going to... later on, I might lose it again, and I know when it's coming, so I'm going to try to control myself. So here's three different times, one other in John, one in Ezekiel, and one in 1 Peter, that we get clarified that it is a work of God for us to be redeemed and regenerated and renewed and have life. And so the first one is in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. It says, but to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become a children of God. That was a big idea then. And listen to this. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So those who are receiving and experiencing being a child of God have received that by a work of the Father, through the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. And this next one, going into the Old Testament, I have always loved this. Ezekiel 36, verse 25 through 27. And this is a prophetic word to, and we saw last week that the people of Israel, like, over and over again, after God redeems them and restores them, choose, as soon as that leader is gone, to go back to where they were before. Because they were still trying to manifest it by their work and their effort. Ezekiel chapter 36, starting in verse 25, it says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanliness. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. Listen to this. And I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. See, the problem with a lot of us, me for the first 18 years of my life and then struggled over that for the last 24, is that we want to, in our own power, change the way we act and behave without letting God do something in us first. Like here, all of these statements, it isn't God, you know, helped you. It is God saying, I will remove your heart of stone, which is exactly what we have before God restores us and renews us. And he puts a heart of flesh. Here's the thing. If he doesn't put a heart of flesh in us, if he doesn't change our heart, then we cannot obey him. We cannot follow him. See, we try to convince people, if you change your behavior, everything else will work out. And the truth is, God has to change you first. Like, your behavior will only pollute you, which we see through every Pharisee that Jesus encounters, other than really Nicodemus, and he was still confused, but their behavior they had mastered. But they still missed the Savior of the world, who they had been waiting for thousands of years. Here's another one, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation already to be revealed in the last time." Our exposure and change and being born again is initiated by God the Father. There's another one that's not going to be up there. It says that he is the author and perfecter of our faith. If he didn't begin it, you don't have it. Period. For everyone that is feeling a little overwhelmed right now, like, My point in what we're going to have a conversation is not to unsettle a faith that God has given you. My point of today is to settle a faith that God has given you. And so we're going to get into the conversation with Nicodemus, and this is going to be, and we're going to be in John 3, 1 through 15, and I'm going to read through it, and we're going to talk about it, and then we've got some kind of applications that we want to walk into like Nicodemus. So starting in verse 1. "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." And for those that don't have any background and, you know, really have read this word Pharisee and don't understand it, Pharisees were the goody two shoes. They were the ones who obeyed the law. They were the religious leaders. They were the ones that helped keep everybody in line, politically motivated, to keep Israel the focal point and Yahweh the focal point, and the ones that were directing and pointing the people towards the coming Messiah. And so here is Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. It says, "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" Nicodemus comes at night, and in this culture, you know, nighttime visitations weren't like, you know, if you visit somebody at night, it's not as weird. Like, if you are a religious leader going to see a questionable other religious leader, and if you did it at night, you're doing it for one purpose, and that's to make sure that your friends and other people don't see you go have a conversation with Jesus. See, And he showed respect. I mean, he is, there's something in Nicodemus. And we know further along that Nicodemus got it. But at this point, that isn't happening. But he is at least identifying in this rabbi, which we, you know, those are all terms that we kind of have read if you've been in the Bible that you may not understand. Like, this was a son of reference. Like, he wasn't, a lot of the Pharisees literally tried to trip up Jesus and cause him to say something that they could use against him. Nicodemus came to him, and he is saying this and, like, identifying, like, we know, like, I don't know what that we is, but we know that you are from God because no one else could do what you have done. And so, I love, like, he's like, let me honor you. And Jesus, like, is 1-2 punch right off the get-go. Like, there was no, like, little side conversation. Jesus went right to it because Nicodemus came there for a reason. Jesus knew what that reason was and went right to it. And Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I love Nicodemus because I think I would be a little bit like Nicodemus. And I imagine this next conversation was to be a smart pants, smarty pants. And so, I'm sure he's got his robes and his priestly garments or whatever. But Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Okay, it gets better. Can he enter a second time? You can tell when it, like, it's cautionary when my voice goes a little crazy. A second time into his mother's womb and be born. That doesn't need any explanation, right? Okay, I'll leave it at that. I mean, so he's like, okay, I get what you're saying, but he knew that that wasn't necessarily what Jesus was saying, but he was saying, how does this happen? And here's Jesus. And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water, our first birth, and born of the Spirit, our second, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And kingdom of God, just so we're all on the same page, this is eternal life. This is entering heaven, if we want to use that term. This is the kingdom that God has come to preach through the ministry of Jesus. We cannot see it nor enter it unless we are born again. And listen to this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And if you want to just kind of play with that idea a little bit, I'm just going to recommend one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, Romans 8. Just go there, read it about 15,000 times, and you get the idea that if you sow in the flesh, you're going to get flesh. As long as that's what we're doing, and that can be religious stuff too. If we're going to do religious things, even worship or preaching and all these other things, going to the laundromat, I don't know why I was, you know, maybe I wanted you to help me, I don't know. Going to all these things, if we do them in the flesh, we're going to reap the flesh. But if we, in the Spirit, sow these things, then we get things of the Spirit. Listen to this. In verse 6, it says, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that was born of the Spirit is spirit. 7, do not marvel that I have said this to you. You must be born again. See, the Greek text in this verse, the first you is singular. So the first you is him going, Nicodemus. And just to make sure this conversation wasn't just about Nicodemus. The second you was plural. That Jesus wasn't just specifically talking to this one man. Because sometimes what we do in our religious nature at times, we'll read something about like, that's for somebody else. No. When Jesus speaks, it's for us. We just have to find what Jesus is speaking to us. And this is being spoken to all of us. All of us. Verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes. And this is Jesus' explanation of the movement and work of the Holy Spirit. And you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. It is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. See, this is explaining the power of the Holy Spirit in us. See, we cannot, for our first birth, there's records. Meaning, I have three children. One of them is going to be 15 tomorrow. Pray for me, because we're going to the DMV in the morning. And then I'm going to get saved. Every time I enter into the car, my prayer life is going to skyrocket and all that good stuff. But three times, I was there. I know that there was a birth. I was in the room. I don't know about other parents that have kids. There's always this fear, someone's going to take your kid or they're going to swap and you're going to get somebody else's kid. That decreased every child, but the first one is she leaving my sight. You're going to take her to the nursery? I'm going to follow you to the nursery. I'm going to stand at the window, and I'm going to look in and make sure you bring my kid back to me. Don't want nobody else's kid at this point. I want my kid. But, I knew that those were my children. See, here, Jesus is doing something in us that we've got to validate. There's not necessarily an explanation. You cannot, and I don't care if your church gave you one, you cannot bring a document that will prove that you have born the second time. It has been written in us. The proof in us is as we change by and through the Holy Spirit. Verse 9. Nicodemus still isn't getting it. He's already said, how am I, an old man, going to get born again? In verse 9, Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? Look, if Nicodemus can miss it, we can miss it. I missed it for 18 years. For 18 years, I was in Sunday school. I was in church. I can't say that I listened all the time, but I was there. And I knew, if you had a conversation with me about Jesus and about being a Christian, I could explain the gospel in a sense that we're sinners, we need to be saved, Jesus, the Son of God, came to the earth and did what we could. I could tell you that, but there was no new birth in me. None. Until 1994 at a camp. And thankfully, God used an ex-girlfriend of mine to destroy me in the middle of that week. Just ripped all my heart apart and set me in a collision course with the real gospel. And it changed me. That's what the gospel does. And let me just say this. In case I miss it and you walk away from here, look, when my children were born, I understood that it was my responsibility to do almost everything for them. Okay, my wife's not in here. It was our responsibility. man, he's a good husband. He's done everything. No, our responsibility, mostly my wife, to do what was necessary to feed, clothe, change diapers. I changed diapers, okay, not afraid of that. And do all those things for my child because they were a child. There was mercy. I want to tell you this, and I want you to hear it. I want the Spirit of God to press this on your heart. When you're born again the second time, that same mercy that we had and understanding that this is a child is the same mercy and love and affection God the Father has for you as His child. But children, just like mine, grow. That's the intent. If they didn't grow, we would take them to the doctor and we'd figure out what's going on. When we're born again, God has so much mercy on us. He has so much mercy for me who was saved 23 years ago now. His mercies are new every morning. But the thing is God moving you? Like, that's where we begin to see, like, the guy who existed in 94 isn't the guy who exists today. Now, the guy who exists today desires to be the guy that God has designed. It is where I'm going and where we're going, moving towards the person that God has made you to be. There's a mercy. Verse 11, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony." Jesus is saying, look, I understand, and I'm speaking truth, but you're not receiving my truth because you aren't receiving me. It says, "If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man." Jesus is giving his origin story right here, right to Nicodemus, to understand that the testimony that you're hearing is not just the testimony born of man, but it is the testimony that is from God. Because no one else has ascended into heaven other than the one that has came down from heaven, which is the one that you're talking to right now. Verse 14, it says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." I don't know if you remember that weird story, but they misbehaved, and God's like, poisonous snakes. That's our fear of snakes right there, I'm just saying. Poisonous snakes, but, you know, they cried out, and they're like, oh, make this bronze serpent, and you just put it in the village, and, like, if you get, you know, oh, snake! You could run as long as you didn't die before you get there, and if you looked at this bronze serpent, that you would be healed. All of that is pointing to Jesus. Jesus is the bronze serpent for us, meaning he is where we look to for our healing. And it says that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. We're not even getting into 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son so that you have the opportunity to be born again, so that you have the opportunity to know God, to allow the Holy Spirit to do in you what you could not do yourself. So here's a little application for us. What Nicodemus needs and what you and I need is not religion, but life. Because Nicodemus had that down. He had religion down, but missed Jesus. In one sense, of course, Nicodemus is alive. He is breathing, thinking, feeling, acting. He is a human created in the image of God. But evidently, Jesus thinks he's dead, needing to be born again. There is no spiritual life in Nicodemus. Spiritually, he is unborn. He needs life, not more, hear this, not more religious activity or more religious zeal. He has plenty of that. Nicodemus finally saw this. We see this at the end of the Gospels. Nicodemus was the one who went to ask for the body of Jesus. Nicodemus was the one who shared the responsibility of making sure that he was buried. Nicodemus was also the one before, during the accusation, was defending Jesus in this. Nicodemus got it. I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up. So here's a question. Have you been born of the Spirit of the living God? Not are you perfect. Not are is your life making sense and everything just looks shiny and perfect and white and holy. But have you been born by the living God, and are you now actively moving towards Him? Jesus said that if you don't have, all you've got to do is ask. See, I had a lady at our old church where we moved from that I think one of the most awesome baptism testimonies, we'd film them and show them. And she was there, and her name was Linda Martin. Sweetest lady ever, volunteered at our church, and she had been saved for years, decades. Loved Jesus, faithful to Jesus. And for years, she had been hearing in our church every time that we would do baptisms, and she would kind of feel the Holy Spirit going, and baptism does not equal salvation, so don't hear this in that, but obedience. And for years, she would hear, you know, baptism, and there was a part of her that's like, that never happened for me. And one Sunday, finally, they were talking about a baptism was coming up, and she went, and she said, look, she said, you know, I'm saved. Jesus loves me. My eternity is secure, but there is something that Jesus has been asking me to do for decades that I was unwilling to do. Actually, Megan, very similar story. Look, what God, not for decades, sorry, I put a story and I didn't explain it. We had a baptism. We had a baptism here on Sunday and kind of offered to whoever, and kind of same thing. The Holy Spirit was just speaking to her to be obedient. And like I saw Megan put down her guitar and leave, and I was like, always when people leave, I'm like, did I do something? And she came in a few minutes later, and we had clothes in the back that you could change into, and she just said, look, God asked me to do something, and I want to do it. See, it is the Holy Spirit that God puts in you that prompts that action. And so if that hasn't happened to you, I spent 18 years of my life, almost half of my life, living unborn in Jesus. And so what we want to do in this song is that God has mercy for you to grow in Him if you are a child of God. But God does not want you to exist in a place of religious work. God wants you to exist in a place of freedom that is given by the Son alone. And you cannot. There is no amount of religious work. There is not a checklist that you are going to be confronted by on your day of death, entering into heaven going, did you? Yes, you're in. It is going to be, who have you been trusting? Have you been born again? And it won't be a document that we bring. It will be written on our heart through the Holy Spirit. And so if you find yourself this morning going, you know, I don't know. Ask. Ask the Holy Spirit to do in and through you what hasn't happened. And the beauty is that when God begins a work, He actually says this, what I have begun in you, I will bring to completion. When God does a work, He'll finish it. Not you. So if you've been striving and you just feel like you're hitting a wall, maybe it's you trying on your own effort to earn your way into the kingdom. When Jesus clearly said you won't see it or enter it without being born again. So I'm going to pray for us. If this is you, like here's the simplicity. Same thing if you've been in church, same thing you've heard over and over again. You need a Savior. God loved you so much that He gave His only Son that you could have life. And so Jesus came and put on flesh and lived the life that you cannot live, died the death you deserve so that you could have life by believing and trusting and having faith in Him. That's it. Have that conversation and be born renewed today. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. I just pray against any work of the enemy that would love to come in and bring confusion, that would love to confuse your children already, that have loved you, have followed you, and have been obedient to you, Lord. I just rebuke the enemy that would love to whisper in their ear, you don't have that. Lord, for those, your children in this room, Lord, I pray that you would whisper your affection. your approval and your love for them. And for those that are in this room that haven't, Lord, you know, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to their heart, that you would be just like the word that Ezekiel spoke, that you would, at their request, remove their heart of stone and put a heart of flesh, and that you would put your spirit in them. So, Lord, we thank you that you have mercy, that in our growth you are a proud, adoring Father that is cheering us on. Lord, just like we were with our kids' first step when they first rolled up, that same excitement. Our Father in heaven loves to see his children begin to step, begin to walk, begin to crawl towards you in faith. So lead us to life, Jesus. We pray these things in his mighty and powerful name, Jesus. Amen.